Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 project here on the Nerd Party Network, where me and Dallas King make our way through the A24 filmography and interview the talent involved along the way. In this episode, we now have our third interview with someone involved in Midsommar, as we welcome Gerge Orban, who worked as a set PA on the film. Gerge takes us behind the scenes of working with an incredible cast and with writer-director Ari Aster and what he was like as a director with this huge cast, what it was like working on this huge village set, and his experiences with the film, and much, much more. Thanks to Gerge for joining me, and I hope you too will enjoy the show. So for those that are listening for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am a... Okay, basically, I have my own media production company called Walla Pictures, and I'm working in the media industry since 2008. So I started as an actor in theaters, and I had a lot of commercial roles, and I had a main role in a movie, and but basically I learned media, I mean producing, in Cambridge, in Cambridge Regional College. So that's where I get my paper from, and came back to Hungary and continued with my own business, and also co-worked for other companies like Umbrella, and right now I'm doing two things with my company. We're doing little projects, I mean mostly online commercials, short films and stuff, and I'm also co-working for bigger companies like Netflix and Universal and stuff like that, who come to Hungary to produce their films. So I'm working in those productions as PA, VFX, data wrangler, or maybe stand-in, or whatever comes in my road.
Have you always been sort of interested in sort of pursuing a career in the film industry? Because we're all too aware of what it's like to sort of the Hollywood story, or places like even sort of London. What's it kind of like to sort of try and pursue that as a career in Hungary?
I'm born to be a media person. Not like a celebrity or stuff, but I learned talking before walking, and it started even when I was young, even in my childhood. I always went for poetry races. How it goes? Yeah, it's like spelling bee, but with poetry. and yeah, I learned editing on my own from the internet, because I wanted to know how to do it while I was actor in theaters. So I was always pursuing the career, but in front of camera, behind camera, whatever, just be the part of it.
It's interesting to sort of see how, especially in the past few years, certainly to my eyes, Hungary, but obviously Budapest in particular, seems to be a focus for Netflix productions, big screen movies from people like Ang Lee. You've got the new Marvel movie, Black Widow, that's obviously recently shot there. Is it exciting to now sort of see Hollywood and kind of the industry taking a bigger interest in Hungary?
It's not just exciting. It's a big thing in my life. I've worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger before Midsommar. I've worked with Jamie Foxx and so on, with Tim Miller and big names like that. I'm not a fan kind guy, because I don't want their signature. I don't want to, make selfies with the celebrities. I'm not that type of guy. I really don't care about who are they in person, but I really do care about their work. I really do care about how they are doing their films, how they are working, how they are make their ideas come true, and how they make their visions onto their project. And that's what I really, really good for me to learn these things, because I can implement those stuff into my ones. And it's like, you know, they are paying for me to learn. Yeah. And it's a very, very big thing for me. I always dreamed about it.
You touched on it earlier that you've got this, you know, your IMDb is really exciting to look at. You've got a wide range of credits to your name and a variety of different roles, from assistant director to effects, editor, actor and producer. Do you like being sort of this jack of all trades, having a lot of experience in different kind of locations on film sets, in front of and behind the camera?
That's how you can learn everything. As a producer, you need to know about everything, from the producing, from the pre-production to the post-production and the publishing as well. So that way you can't get wrong with the crew members, with their works. You know, they can screw you up because you know what they are doing, so they can just, you know, mumbo jumbo that it's rendering and we can't solve it. And I can say, yeah, you can solve it, I know how to solve it, but I hired you to do that. If you don't do that, I will show you how to do that. But you know the stuff. You need to keep control of every aspect of producing and the project. So that's why I learned everything I can, and I'm still learning. It will never stop.
One thing that got me excited when I was looking sort of at your resume, as it were, was sort of that you've worked with Denis Villeneuve not once but twice. Obviously, the upcoming Dune, which we'll see sort of the teaser trailer in a few weeks. But obviously, you worked on the exciting Blade Runner 2049. He is become one of the most popular directors in the world. What was it like to work on one of his projects?
Well, I was additional PA in those projects. It was just a few days, maybe a few weeks. Well, I see, as I saw him, he was precise, but he knew exactly what he wanted to see. So there was no question about it. Sometimes directors just, you know, wondering how will it look. He didn't make more than three takes from anything. And he was like, if we can't do it in three takes, then we can do it anyway. So let's do it. And he always got it in three takes. That was interesting. And that was a big lesson for me. So you don't need to put more energy into one scene, then it's necessary, because everybody is on the set, knows what they are doing. On this particular case, everybody knew what's going on, and it was a really, really professional and highlighted team. So it wasn't necessary to, you know, overdoing stuff. And that's a big lesson for me, and that's what I always ask from our directors, or I always follow this lesson when I'm directing, that we only need three takes. If we can't get it in three takes, then we need to change something and do it in another way, because it's not working. That was the main lesson I learned on those particular projects.
When did the Midsommar opportunity first come to your attention? And for those listening, can you describe your role on the film?
I was a set PA on the Midsommar. Mostly I was with the extras. And this was, when I got this opportunity, it was Gergely Marton who asked me for this role, and we have met. He was the second AD on the Midsommar, and we have met on the production of Terminator, the Dark Fate one, when we were doing, we were colleagues on a same state, and we were doing the extras there, mostly with the detention center scenes, you know, those where the Mexican people are in the detention center, and that's where the action are going. And we were responsible for the Mexican, but there were actually Spanish extras from Spain, and we were responsible for about them because we need to coordinate how they get to the set. We needed to set up their positions and their movements and everything. So we were together with Martin Gergely, and after that project, it wasn't ended actually, but he's got this opportunity to be the second AD in Midsommar, and he said to me that I know you're additional in the Terminator, and there will be another project going on, which will be not that high end that Terminator is actually, but it's gonna be a horror. And when he said that it's gonna be a horror, I said, okay, no more words, I'm in. Because I love horror films, and I didn't have the opportunity to work in a horror film before. And I didn't ask anything more. I was like, okay, I will be in the core team, I will be the set PA, and I will work in a horror. That was all I needed to know. So that's where I got the opportunity itself.
When you've heard that it was going to be an Ari Aster film, were you sort of familiar with his work on Hereditary, his short? So was this your first exposure to his work?
To be honest, it was really, really funny because I didn't ask anything. I didn't ask anything about the director or anything like that. I was like, okay, what's going on? That will be it. And on the first day, when we were having breakfast, I spotted a guy, and I asked Martin Gergely that, who's that guy who looks like Woody Allen Lost in the Woods? And he was like, are you crazy? He's Ari Aster. And I was like, no, man. No, you're just kidding. No, he is. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't know. Okay. So he's going to be the boss. And I felt really, really ashamed about it because I didn't see anything about Ari Aster before. I didn't see his picture or anything. I saw his movies. I saw his short films. I saw Hereditary, and I knew about his works, but nothing about him. So it was funny for the first time seeing him. When he introduced himself to the crew and the cast, I just realized he is a very, very nice guy, really, really polite. And he told that he's like a painter. He's painting into the camera. And we didn't know what was going to happen from this, what that actually means. And we have found out that he's going to be really, really precise. And that precision means he moved the deep background like inches, inch to inch, to where should they move, where should they be, how and where should they walk and everything. So I was responsible here on the extras. And the extras, we've used the same extras for the whole production, for the whole project. And we've became like a little family there. And I was responsible with my colleagues for the deep background. And I felt like, okay, deep background, it's always just, you know, it's in the deep, so nobody cares about it, but he cared. He cared everything about the picture and the frame, and it was so big for me. It was like a real responsibility to where to put them, where to what, how to instruct them, what to say for how you pick up those flow words, and where should you go, and what's going to be the tempo you are walking, and everything. So it was a big thing for me. So it was a real responsibility what's happening on the frame.
What's a kind of typical day like on the set of an Ari Aster film in your role? What kind of time of the day do you start? Do you finish? And what kind of typical kind of roles do you find yourself doing during that day?
Well, we've always started to with the picking up the extras on the pickup point and coordinate them to get their costumes, their makeup, their hair done and everything. And after that, it was like always in the morning before sunrise. And we have started around sunrise every day. So, it was a long day because every day was a long day because we have finished mostly when the sun set. So it was more than 12 and 40 hours every day. And as I said, I was responsible for the deep background and the background with the extras. So that was my main thing to do, my main task to coordinate them. What and who should be in the set and the frame, and as Ari said, how it should look like.
What was your reaction when you get onto that set for the first time? You see this village brought to life. You're working with the extras that wear these incredibly detailed clothing designs. You have these sets with the most stunning artwork. What's that like to sort of work in that stunning kind of playpen?
Well, it was, I've never seen such a thing like that, when every detail must be so precise. So it was like the hair of the extras and the cast must be the same every day, not just because continuity, but because of the precision that Ari Aster wanted. And we need to, you know, follow his instructions about that. And all of the costumes, everything must be clean every day, which was, for the costume department, it was a big task, and it was a big thing to keep them clear, because most of the time they were on the earth, on the field, and you know, the stains and everything just got on the costume, and they needed to clean it for the next day. And it was a big and hard work to keep everything in continuity and everything imprecise, that precise as Ari wanted. But I think we've handled it.
You obviously got to work with this amazing cast of extras. Did you get to interact much with sort of the leading cast members?
It wasn't, they were equal. You've never seen such a equality in any production before, because mostly there are, there are the actors and there are the extras, and they are just mostly separated. But in the frame, in the picture, they are at once. But here, there was no difference. We treated the extras just the same like the cast, and it was a very, very refreshing for the whole crew to, you know, the extras are just equal and treated equal, and there was no difference. And Ari was talking to the extras just like as the cast. So yeah, it was a big thing, and it was a really, really polite and a really, really good gesture from the crew, from the production, and Ari as well.
What was it like being on the set of a film like Midsommar? It has so many incredible moments. You have this kind of thrilling climax. You have the scenes of people jumping off rock faces. You have the amazing maypole dance scenes, these huge long tables. What's it like to watch a film like this unfolding in front of your eyes? And was there any moments on set where you were watching this just blown away by what was going on?
It was strange because I was expecting a horror. You know which movie was a daylight horror and it was famous? It was Predator. The first daylight horror that got world famous was Predator, and it was a daylight horror as well, and it got world famous. And for me, it was very, very strange that where is the action? Where is going to be the fear? What the audience is going to fear from? Because the Hargans are so nice. They are so happy here. Every scene looks like a big white and green, I don't know, happy painting. And I was always asking that, where's going to be the gore? Where's going to be the intense, frightening? And at the end, when I saw it on the premiere, I just, yes, I know what's going on here. You're afraid of this white whitening, this clarity that fades the intentions of the Hargans. And it's just not a usual horror film. It's something different. It's something different because you don't have the jump scares. You don't have the scary monsters. You don't have ghosts in there. You have smiling and clear whitening and Hargans who are really accepting everybody, but in their real intentions, what they are doing. I know these are rituals and everything, but the intentions behind it just described as rituals with equality for the earth. You know, if we take something, we give something, and you don't feel like it's frightening when you are in the set and doing the production. But after the post-production on the premiere, I got it. That's an unusual thinking. That's an unusual film, and that's why it becomes so famous. While I was working on the set, I always wondered that what's gonna happen? What's gonna be the frightening stuff? What's gonna be the fear of it? And the whole puzzle has just come together at the end when I saw the film itself. And there were some scenes that were deleted. We have worked on it and deleted. I don't know I can speak about it because of my NDA.
What was your favorite kind of day on set? What was your kind of favorite one?
There was two moments I can remember and I will always remember it. The first one when Ari Aster came to the crew and apologized for I don't know, it was like this. Okay crew, I feel like myself like Hitler. And we was like, what? Why do you say that? And he said that I ask these precise things. I ask you to do this and that, and we are under the 40 degrees, and you're just boiling, and you're doing your job here, and I feel like I'm a dictator, and but he was so polite, and he was so nice that nobody cared about it. It was our job. We did what we have to do, and he felt bad about it, and he wanted to say to the crew that he apologizes for it. And it was a good gesture. I've never heard anything like that from any director before. So he was so nice and polite on the set. Even he was so precise about his vision that he felt like you know, just it sounded like that. Okay, that girl over there, yeah, Cynthia, please, just the hair left. Yes, that's right. And with every person, he did the same thing. Just the hair right, just the hair, and just an inch back. And you know, it was so precise. He felt bad because of it, and he apologized for the crew. That was one moment I will always remember because that was a big lesson for me as well to be that nice and that polite with the crew every time. And the other one was the last day on the set. It was actually when the temple burned down, and after that, he and Bo made a big speech to the crew, and during that, both of them were crying.
That's lovely. That must have been quite surreal to watch that temple burning scene. It's one of the most memorable kind of film climaxes of the past few years, and to have a front row seat must have been really special for you.
Yes, and it was still burning, you know, cameras were on there, and I was like, okay, everyone, I would like to thank everybody, and for the Swedish and Hungarian cast, and for the extras, because this project wouldn't be that good, and I couldn't imagine that it would be this good as it became. And I can only thank to you, because it came out better than I was ever imagined. And at this point, he cried. Oh. And after that, Bo took the microphone, and he started a speech about the thanking, and he cried as well. And the whole crew was hugging each other, and it was like a family moment. And we all knew that this is gonna be the end of this long project we've been through, and everybody was so happy to finish it, but we were sad that it's over, because it was an unusual feeling to work on, and everybody felt all right, and we've became close to each other. It was like a big family. We've had breakfast together, we've worked together, and it was the feeling every day and all day that we are together, not just the crew, because we've worked together on other projects, and I knew most of the crew members from other projects, but this particular case, we felt some bondings, because it was like an everyday thing. We have met in the dusk till dawn, and it strengthened our bond as a crew.
That's amazing. And how long were you sort of working all together on the set? Was it like, how long was the shoot?
As I remember, it was more than 4 months. 3 or maybe 4 months, I can't remember. We started before the summer and ended like in September or maybe October. It was more than 2 years ago, so I can't really remember. But let's say it was 3 or maybe 4 months.
I suppose that kind of length of time, you must really build up a big spirit between yourselves and probably make friends for life going through an experience like that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And most of the crew, I'm working with them on nowadays projects. And we are always mentioning Midsommar, that remember when you need to, with the grid department, remember when you need to dig a hole into that hill to put down the dolly track and everything. And we're only laughing on those things that you've lived through there.
You always talk about, you've touched on a few things that you learned working on the film. You speak about all the projects that you work on, you always take something away from it. What was your big takeaway from working on Midsommar with this amazing cast, this wonderful director? What was the big takeaway for you that you put into your work going forward?
First of all, this precision and politeness together that I learned from Ari himself. And secondly, you don't need that big old crew to make a big project. You know, it's not about the gear. It's not about a big set. It's not about the high-end technology you use. It's the heart. It's the heart that you implement into your films, into your vision, and the good feeling while you are on the set and you are working, that will make a stamp on the project as well. Because as I say, the cameras are not just recording light, they are recording energy. And if the energy around the crew and between the crew and among the people who is working on the project are good, then the film is going to be good. Otherwise, it won't work. Because you can have the money of the richest people to do your film, but if the crew doesn't like to work on it and the casts hate the project or something like that, you know, negative energy comes to the camera, the audience will feel it.
When did you sort of see the finished film for the first time, and what was your reaction to seeing this amazing experience that you went through put onto to the big screen?
We've had a crew premiere in the theaters. I think, as I know, it was before the premiere in America or worldwide. And when I saw the film, I just wanted to, you know, let the remembering go. I just wanted to see the film, but I couldn't help myself to remember all the stuff I lived through throughout the project, and it was hard for me. It was like a montage of a big memory of the project. That was the first time. It was the premiere, and the whole crew was there. So we were like, you know, just remembering the project itself. But after that, in a few weeks ago, I got the director's cut version, and I already saw it without the nostalgic feelings and without the memories of the project. And I just saw that how big is this film? Not the project, but the heart and the depth of this film is so big that I can understand why it's got world famous.
What, it's one of those ones, is does it surprise you, or does it make you happy to have worked on a project like Midsommar, where you have this film goes out into the world and it seems to inspire so many people, not just enjoying the film, but in sort of art, design, costumes? You know, it's been over a year since the film's come out now, and people are still talking about that ending, what it means. What's it like to sort of see how Midsommar's exploded into being such a huge thing online and creatively for people?
I'm really, really proud of it. I couldn't be more proud of it, because as I've mentioned, I worked in big high-end Hollywood productions that got, you know, sank down because there was no heart in it. Like the Terminator Dark Fate, I was expecting more, but the plot was, you know, who am I to judge it? But for me, it was rubbish. And it's bigger than the Terminator itself. It's as famous and as good and exploded as big like the Predator, the first Predator movie. And I just compare it with that because that's the one famous daylight horror that everybody knows around the world. And Midsommar got to this point that everybody knows what is Midsommar. I'm really, really proud. Maybe that's the project I'm the most proud of.
I think there'll be a lot of people listening to this podcast thinking, I've never clicked the idea of Midsommar and Predator as a double feature before, but I think you've got a brilliant idea there.
Yeah. It's just because it was shoot in daylight.
It's a genius idea. I love it. I'm definitely going to have to watch them as a double feature one day. I think that's a great idea. We obviously, this is the A24 project. What's it like to have sort of one of their films on your resume, to have worked on probably one of their most popular films?
as I said, I'm really, really proud of it. And I always, you know, showing my resume with my IMDb link. And this is in the first row of it that I buried in the Midsommar movie. And I've got so many questions about it. And I'm always happy to answer them because it meant a lot for me. And I really, really hope that I can work more A24 films in the future.
What are your favorite A24 films? We pose that question to everyone we get on the show. Have you got a favorite film alongside Midsommar and Hereditary?
Hereditary, as of course. In the mid-90s, that was great. A Ghost Story, I liked that as well. Midsommar, okay, it was my favorite one, but the Death of Dick Long was one that touched me.
That's fantastic. Dick Long, I think, is a very underrated A24 film. It cracks me up every time I watch it. What's coming up next for you? Is there anything exciting that you're working on at the moment or that you can tease?
Well, I worked in a German film. I won't tell the title of it because of the NDA, but I worked a few weeks in it. It will be about Google and a German company, and it's a cult drama. I worked in it as a stand-in and as a PA, just additional. But I'm really looking forward to working at, you know, it's pandemia right now, and they are closing the borders, and we are just waiting for the productions to come here. And it's a sad situation because we don't have too much works. So I'm focusing on my stuff. And I got time for that. And I can tease you one. Maybe I will pitch it for the A24. It will be a found footage movie. I'm working on the script right now with another guy. And it will be a very, very frightening one because it will be about a few foreign exchange, exchange students who's got a Halloween party. But they're gonna close the whole house, and it will be in the forest. They're gonna close this house on themselves, and there will be a substance, an unknown substance in the house that's got rented, of course. And they found a big box of this mysterious substance that makes everybody go crazy, and they cannot escape from the house. And that's what will be this project about. It's going to be gory and frightening, and this is going to be our first horror movie we are right now working on, because we already have a sci-fi thriller. It's a minimal one. It's called REM. That was our first feature film project, and this is gonna be the second one. And we are now doing the pre-productions and perfecting the script itself. And after that, I'm going to pitch it for maybe for A24 and for Netflix and any big production company that I can. And we're gonna have to make it because as too many people said, it's a good idea to let it go. So yeah, we are working on it.
Sounds incredibly exciting. I can't. We'll have to maybe get you back on if it ever comes to screen. I'd love to be able to have you back on to talk about it. If people wanted to keep up to date with any sort of your news, any projects you're working on, where's the best kind of places on like social media, etc., to keep up to date? Obviously, you mentioned you've got your own IMDb page. Where's the best places to keep up to date with any news or any sort of things you're talking about?
Our webpage is wallapictures.hu, where you can find us. And we also have our Facebook page with the same name, facebook.com/wallapictures. And that's where you can find. We've just finished our latest show reel, and we have shared it. And you can also find us on YouTube and on the same name.
Well, thank you so much for joining me to talk about Midsommar and your amazing career so far. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, because it was my pleasure to talk about it.